As melhores competições motorizadas na Sport TV por apenas 4,99€.
Este foi um dia especial, a Sport TV teve as portas abertas da fábrica da Red Bull, equipa campeã do mundo de pilotos, 4 vezes já de construtores. Neste podcast especial falámos com Christian Horner em exclusivo.
Christian, thank you very much for receive Sport TV here in so many cars, so many history of Formula One. When you started a young man, 31 years, when you started as a principal, do you believe that you could be the legend that you are today?
I think when I set off on this journey, I had no idea where it was going to take me. But I think, you know, as Red Bull, we had ambitions and we had the dreams, and you know, we've managed to fulfill, you know, all of those dreams so far. But you know, the dreams continue to grow and to evolve.
What dreams that you have in mind now? What is your main target for?
Well, the target, the short term target, is to retain the world championship, to keep the number one on the car, to defend the title with Max this year across a big regulation change, one of the biggest in the last 40 years. So that's our immediate target. And then beyond that is, you know, the challenge of 2026 to create and design and develop our own power unit here. So that's going to be a massive, massive challenge for us.
The factory is growing. That's your legacy also to the team, to the Formula One.
Yeah, I mean, look, we started off in two buildings and
with a road in the middle.
Now we're a campus. You know, we employ over 1,000 people on Red Bull Racing, Red Bull Technology, Red Bull Powertrains, Red Bull Advanced Technology. So there's a huge amount going on in the business using the knowledge and the know-how from Formula One.
And your full goal in when you retire, I don't know, how many years do you want to stay at the top? It's to become the best F1 principal ever?
I don't think longer term like that. For me, it's about, you know, long term is the end of the season. So, you know, I'm very motivated. I'm still the youngest team principal in Formula One. So I'm still pushing hard and still have a great deal that I wish to achieve with this team.
That's an incredible aspect. You are the youngest between the team principals. It's strange because you are so long in the business.
Yeah, I started very young. So and of course you evolve and you develop, you know, as you become more experienced.
Yesterday at Barcelona, it's the way that Formula One is a roller coaster with everything that happened yesterday, and you are now leading the world championship.
Yeah, you know, the race in Barcelona was fantastic for us to get that 1-2 finish, maximum points with the fastest lap in very difficult conditions, very hot. We were a little bit lucky with Charles Leclerc's issue, but we had to capitalize. And, you know, for Max to win, Checo to be second again, you know, it's been 6 years since our last 1-2, and now we've had two of them in 3 races.
That's a promise for this season. So do you think that you can join at the end of the season the drivers with the team, the championship?
I mean, our goal would be, our dream would be to, you know, achieve both championships. But, you know, there's massive opponents. Your Mercedes are, you know, they're coming back. Ferrari have a very strong car this year. So, you know, we have a huge amount to do to achieve that.
What is now, what are your main opposite? Do you think Mercedes did a step up yesterday and now are real contenders or no, or it's just Ferrari?
I think Mercedes definitely made a step. I think Ferrari have a great car. You know, we could see that. So it's very, very close. And I think we've got, 16 races to go. And you've got 3 teams that are all, you know, within a couple of tenths of a second of each other. So it's going to be really competitive between now and the end of the year.
Yesterday, Max at the end of the race tell our reporter that he wants an upgrade for the car to the one lap to be quicker. It's the update that you're going to bring to the car next races?
Well, look, we have to be very careful with the cost cap because everything, you know, has to be very efficient now. So you have to be very strategic when you introduce your updates. So, you know, for sure, you know, we'll have some more developments this year coming, but it's a matter of picking when is the right time.
Are you preoccupied with Monaco?
Well, Monaco is a big race. You know, it's a very challenging race. It's a unique circuit, a unique challenge for the drivers, for the teams. Different this year because it's a three-day event instead of four-day event. So the weather can sometimes be a little bit different there as well. Yeah. So Monaco will be a very different challenge.
Bigger cars this year on the narrow streets, that could be an extra problem.
Yeah, I think these cars are going to be quite challenging around the streets, and overtaking was already hard. I think this year could be close to impossible.
Yeah, because we saw in Barcelona, normally the races are not too good, and we have a great race. So it's possible to have a great race in Monaco.
I think you can still have a good race. I mean, even condition strategy is going to be a key factor, but qualifying is going to be crucial as well.
We had Max Verstappen winning with a different strategy with Sergio. Do you already have the talk that he wanted to have with you?
Yeah, I spoke with Sergio immediately after the race. I mean, he understood why, you know, as a team, we have to make these decisions, and the strategies were very different. So he understood that very clearly and had no problem when he could see, obviously, what the race was panning out like.
After Barcelona, is next to get a seat for the next years, the second seat at Red Bull?
Yeah, obviously, Checo is very keen to stay with the team. He's doing a great job. It's a good partnership with him and Max. So I'm sure we'll start talking at some point in the near future.
And it's your favorite for the spot?
Look, he's doing a great job. I mean, he's third in the World Championship at the moment. He's scoring podiums, he's scoring pole positions this year as well. So, you know, he's doing a great job for us.
That's an easy solution for you, an easy option.
It's an option, obviously, that we know. We're not short of options. We have some great options around us. So, but in Checo, obviously, we have a lot of information and a lot of knowledge, you know, and background with him.
It was a bit a rumor in the paddock, the possibility of Vettel returns to Red Bull. It's just a rumor, or?
It's just a rumor.
Just a rumor.
It's just a rumor. And we had a wonderful years with Sebastian, some great success, but you know, there's no plan to bring that relationship back together.
Okay. This week we had the news that there are only 22 races. You became happy with that?
Well, 22 is still a lot. So so it's slightly easier for the guys and girls, but it's still very, very tough. There's a big calendar.
For us in Portugal, it was a little heartbreak because it was the end of our expectations to have a race in Portugal. Yeah. At some point, it was a real possibility or not?
I think it's been often talked about. I mean, obviously, it was great to come to the circuit in the Algarve. I also was a big fan of the Estoril circuit. So, you know, you have two very good circuits there that are capable of having Formula One races. So hopefully one day we come back.
I know that you are historically in love with Estoril. You had some great, great moments there. That's your best moments in Formula One and with the racing cars in Portugal or the races in Portugal?
I went to Estoril in 1989. Yes. And to the Formula One there, and you know, it was the first race overseas I ever went to, and it was a great circuit, amazing atmosphere, and then I was lucky enough to drive at the track as well. So so yeah, I have many happy memories.
In the future, for next year, 28 races with the agreement with the Formula One. How many races, you already said that 22 is too much, how many races is possible to have next year?
Next year, I think there may be 23. I think they may push for 24. It depends on China. But, you know, it's a big calendar. It's logistically, it's tough. And you have to think about, obviously, because it's more of a global calendar, big time changes. That's very tough on all the staff.
With Las Vegas adding to the calendar, we had Miami this year. Did you like it, the race?
Yeah, I thought it was a great race. I thought it was as an event, was fantastic. I think, you know, America does great events, and with Vegas coming next year, Austin at the end of this year, got Montreal coming up. So it's great to have a footprint in the US and North America.
But in terms of calendar, it should be more close that events one to other.
I think geographically they could look at getting the calendar, better spaced out, so that when we're in America, maybe we do one or two races. Same in Asia.
Yeah, and Africa. Did you enjoy to race in Africa?
I think South Africa could be very interesting for us. I mean, it'd be great to go there. I've never been to South Africa. We've never raced there, so it would be interesting to see where Formula One, goes over the next few years.
It's most popular than ever, I think.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare even with the great moments with Senna or Prost or Lauda. Do you think that's the way that it's growing and growing? It's still possible to grow more?
I think it's still possible to grow. I mean, Formula One is having a great moment. That, at this point in time, the racing is great. The series, has been great for Formula One.
Are you a fan of Drive to Survive?
Am I a fan of it? I think it gives the fans a behind-the-scenes look at some of the personalities and some of the challenges. And I think it's been great for Formula One. It's brought a whole bunch of new fans to the sport. I think sometimes when you see yourself in it, it's like, oh. But they say the camera never lies.
And you are one of the most popular actors of that show. What are the good and the bad for the Formula One, that show?
I think the good is the new audience is brought to Formula One, the young audience that didn't know what Formula One is. I think the pad is obviously, they want it to be a television show, so they want the drama. And sometimes the way they put the cuttings together, they're making a television show at the end of the day. And you have to just remember that.
It's still possible to have a coffee with Toto Wolff or Binotto or all the other principals?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's still a respect. I'll have a coffee with Matteo anytime.
But not with Toto.
So Toto, we see each other every race, so we don't need to have a coffee. We see each other, 24 weekends a year.
We have now an issue in the problem with Aston Martin. It's solved by the decision of FIA, or you think you can appeal for another?
I think it's something that the FIA have been very clear on. It's their responsibility. We're doing our own investigation. So we want to work with the FIA to make sure something like this, doesn't happen, again, because a team's IP is extremely important to them. And I think that you don't want to see it abused.
Personally, it hurts. Did you feel hurt with the thing that when you saw the new Aston Martin?
I think that people move around in this business. They move from team to team, and what they take in their head is, that's their knowledge. But obviously, when you see an exact replica, it was a little bit surprising. Not just for me, but for all the design team. Because the work would have had to start on that many weeks before the car actually, ran in public. So you'd have to be a clairvoyant to be able to have known what our car was going to look like.
Now we have a new race director, Portuguese,
yep.
Eduardo Freitas, with Nils Witsch. Do you think they bring a new element more equal to the sport, or you think that's the same as Michael Masi?
I think what they're doing at the moment has been a good job. I have seen no complaints. They've done a good job so far.
Fernando Alonso had some complaints.
Teams and drivers are always going to complain. It's like in any sport, the referee can never be right for everybody. So it's a tough job. I think they're trying to do it as scientifically as they can, and I think that's a positive thing.
With both, do you think it's better to have two instead of one?
I think you need two, ultimately, because, particularly so many races, things can happen. So I think it's good to have, a couple of race directors that you can alternate. So, and it's a different dynamic.
Formula One is now the best show in the world?
I think Formula One is the most watched sport, you know, in the world at the moment, and it's the racing is great, the competition is fantastic, and I get the feeling this championship's going to go all the way, you know, to the end of the year as well.
If you put some, what is the main, do you think the main elements until the end of the season?
It's all about development.
You and Ferrari?
I think it's us, Ferrari and Mercedes. You know, they're going to. It looks like they've already arrived at the party.
Yeah, but as a team and as a driver, do you think it's just two, Max and Charles?
I think Max and Charles have been the two standout drivers so far this year. So the racing has been great between the two of them. Every race they're together. So let's see how that goes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Christian Horner, um dos homens mais poderosos da história da Fórmula 1, em discurso direto e em exclusivo para a F1 na Sport TV. Imagem de Nuno Rochinha, Pedro Ricardo Martins, a Sport TV em Milton Keynes, em Inglaterra.